you are looking through an album and you have listened to none of the songs, how do you choose which one to listen to first?
The first one
in the album.
No.
Yeah.
If I don't like the first one, then I'll scroll through and look for a single word title. I don't know why, but that's something. Or one that's like intriguing to me, but that's like totally subjective.
If I care to listen to album, I'm listening it from start to finish as they like laid it out.
Okay. In the situation where you were testing out an artist, you haven't heard their work, you haven't heard the album, you haven't heard anything about the album.
Then I'm looking at singles.
Yeah, look at singles. I would rarely listen to an artist if I haven't heard anything about them. Usually I have some sort of reference. It's somebody recommended it to me, where I went down a rabbit hole and found out something about the band that intrigued me. And so I'll see if I can follow that rabbit hole to a specific song that seems especially interesting. Once again, the idea of an album is very contingent. You don't have to make an album, especially it's the digital age. More artists should be willing to not make an album. If you don't have a concept album, if there's not like one idea running through the whole thing, don't make an album. It's not worth it. Drop a series of EPs, drop a series of singles, spread it apart, keep people engaged, and make it more of a narrative. But if you have one idea that you think needs to be expressed in like 7 to 20 songs, then I want to engage with the album as an album. I want to listen to it all the way through.
Personally, for a long time there when I was starting out, I thought, oh, I have to release an album, otherwise people won't be impressed. They won't be like blown away like, whoa, an album.
Curious musician.
Yes, exactly. But now I'm like on the same wavelength with that. Like, I did a lot of research and a lot of people nowadays are saying, yeah, singles are the way to go nowadays, just because they're quick, easy, they grab your attention, and you can just boom, 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 release them whenever. And I think it's also interesting because it allows for a more readable timeline of evolution, like for the artist.
Yeah.
Like, it's a easier way to like see them evolve over time. Because if it's an album, it's usually developed within a specific period of time with like the same idea, the same concept. It's all connected in some way. Whereas with singles, there's more flexibility and you can experiment a lot. And I think that that shows more of like the artist and it allows for more diversity in the music as well, which could appeal to a wider audience.
Well, and even if just your album's developed over like a year where you could have been dropping copious singles, that's still a year that you're not dropping anything. And a year, another like several months worth of like marketing and advertising you need to build up. Because it's not just releasing an album is not the hard part. It's the marketing behind it, the pushing the album, the everything else. That is like the royal pain. Pushing a single, that's not that difficult. That's one idea. But if you try to push an album, there's so much you need to go off of that you're trying to convince people that's worth it.
Yeah, you have to think about momentum a lot from the marketing end. And I agree with all of that, yeah.
And if you release a single and you don't do as much as you can to market it, then yeah, it's sad that it's a single that gets not as much attention as it deserves. If you put your heart and soul into 14 songs and release that and the same thing happens, that's appalling. I don't think any artist should be making an album unless they're prepared to get it to as many people as possible and have the resources, have the network. The thing we forget is, once again, the idea of an album was trained over the course of the 20th century, when the only people who could release music were the ones funded by record companies who had that marketing network in place. And usually it was also, these are like professional musicians who tour a lot and then have the dedicated time to sit down as a group and write an album in a couple months. The album represents a snapshot of their lives in the same way that nowadays a single self-produced in your bedroom does. This is what's going through my head. This is what I'm experiencing. I'm just going to get this all out through whatever means I have.
Well, and that's not even going to mention the fact like of indie musicians who are like not even like self-producing. They're going to other places to record. You have to then pay somebody to record and mix and produce your entire thing. So you're paying somebody about $1,000 for an album. that you're going to make absolutely no money off of. If you're doing 14 songs,
you're really freaking lucky if you're paying $1,000 for that.
If you get just $1,000 for that, you're lucky as hell. So why are you doing this if you do not have the place where you're going to make $1,000 back? Even if we're talking like you can go play live shows and make $1,000 back, like through merch or through that, like the audience you like already have is going to listen to it, then come back and want to like get your merch based on that album or something. But if you have none of that infrastructure, you're just honestly jacking off your ego, thinking that this is going to be a good thing for you. You think that you're going to do what people did in the 90s and you're suddenly going to make bank. You are not. You are going to lose so much money, then you're going to be so sad that no one's listening to it because you focused on paying for the recording and the mixing and making the material instead of focusing on building your infrastructure as an artist and as a brand and as a person. That's what's actually going to get you the finances to then be able to build your art, which singles is perfect for. It's low stakes. And like one single can push someone into stardom. You get one single that you market perfectly, you're going to do so much better than the album.
I think that's why DIY is so appealing nowadays. Like, cause for me at least, like I'm one of those people who like gets bored with whatever art form I'm attached to at the moment. And then I branch from that and try to learn something new. And right now that is music and podcasting. And I try to do it all myself because A, it is cheaper, and B, you know, if it doesn't hit off or take off, then that's okay, because I didn't put too much money into it. And it was just a single, so I can always make another one. There's like, you notice there's like this whole trend now of like you said, people producing in their bedrooms, like, you know, Billie Eilish, for example, but you know.
Yes, Phineas's bedroom.
Oh, sorry.
Respect on his name.
I'm sorry.
And yeah, a single doesn't need to be less art than an album. Again, most of the time, up until the like late 60s, an album was just filler for the singles. You would release singles, and then you would come up with like five bullshit tracks to slide between the singles and release an album to get just a little more money on top of that. Nowadays, again, if you have a concept album, if you have a story that needs to be told over the course of 40 minutes to an hour and a half, then please make an album. It would be disrespectful to not. But you can tell a very compelling story in 2 to 5 minutes, 2 to 6 minutes. I write long songs.
You do. Respectfully.
Disrespectfully.
Neutrally respectfully.
Mid-respect. I'm also like, why do people forget about EPs so much?
Honestly.
Bands are sleeping on EPs.
EPs are perfect.
And EPs, like, yeah, just take the highlights of your set. Or, like, if you do have one concept that you can follow through three songs, that's what we always do, is, like, we do singles if we have something short, something concise to say. Spectrogrammaton, it was, so what we were talking about earlier, it's not a traditional structure. There's no chorus proper. There's words that get repeated, but they're repeated in different contexts.
Well, and even that, we have material that could have been on the EP with Spectro. It just would have taken another year to actually finalize and get to the point of like similar energy. Or Spectro could have been on an EP that we had before. It just would have been holding on to stuff for way longer than it needed to be. There would be no reason to save it for a project.
Yeah, but I don't even know if that's true. Like, Spectrogrammaton was the instrumental, and like half the lyrics were written in one night.
Well, okay, that is true. I remember that night. That was fun. I huddled behind the cabinet in the kitchen listening to you record it.
And so it's very much, again, a snapshot of my life in that exact moment. It's the things I was thinking about, the sounds that were coming to my head, this loop of the Battlefront soundtrack. And I mean, yeah, I could shoehorn it into an EP, but I don't feel like it needed to be there. I think it stands well on its own. It's got enough dynamics. And the themes of the song aren't things that I would really care to revisit. Especially with Jane's contributions, we said what we need to say about that. Maybe later I'll have more ideas. But
and the beauty about having released it as a single is that even if you wanted to go back and revisit that, you could always release it alongside others in a future EP. you know, and people have this reference point of like, oh, I know that song. What are these other two? You know, it's sort of like a, it grabs your attention. So you already are familiar with the first one and you're familiar with the vibe of it. So it only helps if you do choose to release it as like with a future EP, you know. There's no harm in, you know, revisiting if you want to.
The big trend in a lot of things right now is to release singles and then release a project that those singles you've been releasing for the past year end up being on. So you can have a project that half the songs have already been released on. They might be like remastered or redone a little bit, but like they've already been released. And I think that is one of the best ways to go about the current like landscape is to release singles, be able to have them there and then deal with it and then drop a project and be able to group those back into this grander like idea.
Exactly. And I mean, that's where albums started once again. Until the psychedelic era, the prog rock era, albums weren't the highest form of art. Singles were. And you would release singles and eventually you would try to scrape a little bit more money off of it by putting all your singles together and recording.
It's like a movie trailer.
And you had that amount of wax on the vinyl that was going to get squished either way, so why not put more lines in it that you could fit?
Like, yeah, and the thing contemporary artists can learn from that is also that you can re-record your material. You can completely reinterpret it. A lot of the time, if you listen back to these older things, there's a bunch of different versions because, I mean, it's not like it really made sense to just take this older thing that was already out. And if you already had a group of musicians who you were playing with who knew the song and could do it again slightly better, or maybe nowadays it doesn't need to be quantitatively better, but it can be qualitatively different, you have a chance to reimagine your material and connect it with other songs. So if you have a single that's out and you feel like it deserves to be part of a concept album, you can like tweak the arrangement. You can, you can correct mistakes in the original, what you perceive as mistakes, but you can also explore the potential of the song because the other one's already out there. And because we all know that anyone has access to any music at any time, it's not like they're missing out on the original if you redo it.
I also love that because if you look at video game or movie sound scores, you'll register, for the most part, if it's just one composer, the instruments are very thematically cohesive. The sound is very unified. And I think that goes for just writing music as like an artist in general. You can choose to be thematic instrumentally or lyrically. Like there are a lot of ways to go about that as well. And I think that's really cool. You can kind of branch out and experiment on these different levels, you know?
Do you think that's because of diversity of access to instruments, or do you think that's diversity of access to other media?
I feel it's just the quickness you can upload new stuff. You want a song to drop next week or in 3 days? You could put it up right now.
That's fair, but that wasn't possible even 15 years ago.
Yeah, which is why it wasn't as big of a thing that long ago. That's why it was like so hard set. You still had to go through labels. Like you couldn't, an independent artist couldn't get their stuff on iTunes back in the day.
And they also didn't have access to nearly half as many MIDI instruments as we have access to today on free platforms.
I'm just gonna go off the like most modern example of high-end people abusing the fact that you can upload stuff whenever you want, whenever you want.
Owl City.
What the? No, not
it. You would not believe that's your
the,
eyes.
That's the wrong bird. Wrong bird I'm talking about. Wrong bird.
I say take the Christ Dillinger route and just post it on YouTube, you know, and then when you want to.
Talk the fact that Kanye uploaded Vultures to all streaming platforms, then 3 days later took it down and re-uploaded it entirely. Then a few days later took it entirely down, then re-uploaded it again. Then they removed it, and then he re-uploaded a different version again. And then he also uploaded like 3 more versions of the single for funsies. And then we still don't know when 2 is coming out because he just hasn't said it. And it's just like, that's the only high, like, that level artist who has done that.
Maybe he's making a statement.
I think he's just going through an episode, but he's also might be making a statement, but I think he's going through an episode.
Yeah, Kanye is avant-garde because of mental illness.
Because of, hey, put respect on it. Because of weird chemicals in the noggin going wonky.
Lack of chemicals in the noggin.
Or too many.
Speaking of someone whose chemicals are always, you know, in the brain, chemical brain. Whoa, I'm going to start that over. As somebody who...
She proved her point.
Yes. Thank you. That's all I needed. That's all that needs saying. Anyway, I defer.
Music is a temporal medium. It's based on time. For most of human history, you could hear a song once, and you would never hear that same song again, ever. You can hear the same idea reproduced in a slightly different way. But the fact that people as large and significant as Kanye West... it's kind of profound to me. I don't know why more artists aren't treating distribution as part of the art.
I mean, honestly, the exact example for the big scale is because the artists aren't dealing with their distribution at all.
Speaking of somebody who's currently having major distribution issues, I don't really care. I'm just embracing the reality of uploading, taking down. And this is my reality at this point, and I don't care. But also going back to music, it's sort of a staple of what either culture was going through at that time or what the artist was, but it's like it's a musical stamp on that specific point in time, which is beautiful.
Even if it's views on the past, it's still in that moment what we know scientifically, historically, and emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the phrase musical snapshot. I've used it like 3 times now. I don't know where I came across it, but it feels very real, especially when you think about how albums used to be done, where it's sort of written in studio, and how singles and EPs are done now, where it's written over a short period of time and released as soon as it can. You're not waiting on 2 years to put a whole album together. It's a diary entry.
I forgot who it was, but someone said the quote along the lines of, one of the greatest sins is how many people go to their grave without getting the music that they have written out to the world. Like, how many melodies do you have that you've just not put out because you're waiting for the grand opus or your magnum opus or something, and then you die, and then everything you've been just thinking about, it just doesn't exist.
I personally experience that on the daily.
She dies and loses all her music daily.
That's crazy.
I feel that.
I like that movie.
Yes.
Please elaborate. To what you actually meant. I'm just...
That was me compensating for the fact that I lost my train of thought, but I have regained it. Yeah, I am constantly in this internal battle with myself on, am I waiting for that magical moment, or am I really just waiting for myself to figure out, oh wait, the song actually needs this, then I can release it. And that's just a personal... Well, I don't know. I feel like a lot of artists have that, because I'm also kind of a... What's it called?
Perfectionist.
Perfectionist. Yeah. Like, I try to make my work as perfect as it can be. And I've been like constantly trying to untrain myself from thinking that way, because if you think that way all the time, you're never going to release anything. And that's the beauty of art in the first place, is art is never perfect. That is what my 7th grade art teacher told me. And I've carried it with me.
Mm-hmm. Conversely, art is always perfect. Whatever you put out as art, no one's going to know your intentions ever.
Yeah.
You're never going to know what it's supposed to be. As long as they have a profound experience based on it, that's what counts.
Yeah.
I say, as long as you put it down in a medium that it can be seen by anybody else. That's on my things. This ain't perfect art. Anything on the studio ain't perfect art.
Send it to the MoMA.
I'm still going to force all y'all to stare at it for my own joy.
And that's the other great thing about the time we live in music technology is, yeah, it might not be perfect, but you can upload the same thing next week, better version. Or maybe 2 years down the line, you realize what you actually do need to do to make it perfect. Because maybe you didn't have the skills and you knew it had potential. You knew what perfect looked like. You just didn't know how to, like, technically, how to get it there.
Or not even perfect, but upgraded or refined. Like, yeah. Remasters, for example. I feel that's a good example. When I released Death Wish, my very first single ever, I was very new. I had been working on the song for about 3 months, but it was all, I was learning the entire time. So the production, like, you know, it's not EQ'd the best, but I have intentions to go back and refine it. And in this day and age, that's a very easy thing to do, which I am very thankful for, because back in the day, like you said, you'd have to pay like a lot of money to like get it redistributed and like all this stuff. So,
and the people who knew the original version, they don't immediately have access to the new version.
Yeah,
you need to put in effort to go out and buy music. And Impulse Machine's in a similar place. Spoiler alert, we're currently in the production process of...
Sorry, I didn't quite get that.
Is it, has it stopped recording?
Siri popped up. I don't know how much we got recorded, but
oh, cool.
I'll not tell them about our plans because I also don't know when this is coming out.
Actually, it might be after. Just run that part right there and let the cutoff be like the end.
All right, guys, thank you for tuning into From the Machine. We got Lil Fairy on this episode.